The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Capello.
Isn't that a beautiful wall?
Beautiful.
You know what that wall reminds me of?
What?
This one over here.
Oh, stop. Mm-hmm. Walls are walls. Suppose you walked over there and you bored a hole in that wall.
Okay, I walk over there and I bore a hole in the wall.
Why? Why should you go over there and bore a hole in that wall?
I'm not boring a hole in the wall.
Why should you go over there and bore a hole in that wall?
Look, Ted, you said to me, suppose you walk over there and bore a hole in the wall.
But
I was dopey enough to say I'll go and bore a hole in the wall, but you're not going to put that blame on me.
That makes no difference.
I don't go around boring holes in walls in restaurants.
That's what I want to know.
If I want to get out of here, I don't have to get out to a hole in the wall.
You see that?
They got exits here if I want
exit.
To get out. Exit? Mm-hmm. E-X-I-T out.
What makes you so dumb?
Oh, it just comes to me naturally.
Sure. Suppose you walk into a baseball field. What teams are playing?
I don't know.
Then what are you doing in that baseball field?
I don't know. You got me in here, now get me out.
Look, what is the first thing you buy in a baseball field?
A hot dog.
A hot dog.
Without mustard?
Mustard goes with a hot dog.
Not with mine.
Mustard was made for the hot dog.
No, but look, I don't like mustard.
Mustard and the hot dog go together.
Let them go together. I don't want to spoil any romance.
Do you know they spend millions of dollars every year to put up factories just to manufacture mustard? Do you know those factories employ thousands and thousands of men just to manufacture mustard? You know those men take care of thousands of families and homes, all on account of mustard? And you, just because you don't like mustard, what do you want them to do? Close those factories down and put all those people out of work?
Do you mean to sit there and tell me just because I don't eat mustard, I'm going to close down the mustard factory?
No, wait a minute. No.
Are you trying to tell me that those thousands of people are making one little jar of mustard like this just for me?
No, wait a minute. You don't understand.
Well, if you can tell them not to make any more because I'm not going to eat it.
All right, so you don't like it.
I like Worcestershire sheer shorts.
You like what?
Worcestershire sheer shorts. You can't even share it. But I don't go for mustard.
You don't like mustard, huh?
I don't like it. No, I like Worcestershire sheer shorts.
You don't know why you dislike it.
Look, I'm not going to put nobody out of work. I told you before, I don't put nobody out of work.
All right, forget about it.
Okay.
Sit here like a big dummy. I don't know why I hang around with you. You can't answer a question.
You said that I was putting thousands of people out
That's
of work.
That's what you're doing.
I'm not putting anybody out of work.
Men walking the streets, husbands walking the streets, doing nothing.
I'm not putting any husbands out of work.
You don't even know what a husband is.
A husband is what's left of a sweetheart after the nerve has been killed.
Right, listen, no remarks out of you. Ask you simple little questions and you say nothing at all.
Why don't you ask me a little easy question?
Will you answer it?
A tiny one.
So, suppose you had $5 in one pants pocket and $10 in the other pants pocket. What would you have?
Somebody else's pants on.
But yeah, you see, you want to answer the question.
I ain't got no money. What do you ask me those kind
I'm
of things?
I'm not asking you that.
Don't yell at me.
It's only simple. Shh. Quiet.
What's
Look
wrong?
Here. Say you're 40 years old. Now, wait a minute. Just a minute.
Who's 40?
Just say, pretend
I'm
you're...
I'm a boy.
All right. Pretend you're...
I'm a little boy.
All right, wait a minute. Look, pretend
I'm
you're...
I'm 40.
Pretend you're 40 years old. And you're in love with a little girl, say, 10 years old.
This one's going to be a pip.
Well, now, wait a minute till I finish it.
Now, I'm going around with a 10-year-old girl.
Well, wait a minute.
Now, you got a good idea where I'm going to wind up.
Will you wait a minute, please? Now, you're 40. She's 10. You're four times as old as that girl. Now, you couldn't marry her, could you?
Not unless I come from the mountains.
Never mind that. I'm asking you one little simple question. You want to answer it?
Well, go ahead.
You're 40. She's 10. You're four times as old as that girl. Can't marry her, so you wait. Oh, you wait 5 years.
I wait 5 years.
Now you're 45. The little girl is 15. Now you're only three times as old as that little girl, right? Huh? So you wait 15 years more. Now the little girl's 30. You're 60. Now you're only twice as old as that little girl.
She's catching up.
Yes, yes. Now here's the question. How long do you have to wait before you and the little girl are the same age? Now, go ahead. Now, there's a very simple question. Think hard.
I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
What's ridiculous
I mean,
about?
If I keep waiting for that girl, she'll pass me up.
What do you mean?
She'll wind up older than I am.
What are you talking about?
She'll have to wait for me.
Why should she wait for you?
I was nice enough to wait for her.
Oh, stop.
Thank you. time has come, the walrus said, to listen to the godfather of internet radio. The bard of broadcasting is here, Mr. Walrus, so let's get cracking. The third man is back, fresh and ready to go. Flushed out and moving right along. Lots of things to talk about, lots of things to listen to. About Frank Catola, man, his name adorns the title of the show. We're going to chronicle the way we chronicled back in 1995. Isn't that it? 99, maybe. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. The storied life continues. Someone recently said to me, you know, they didn't like that phrase, you know, he lived a storied life. I'm not that, I mean, I get so many other qualms about the language and phrases. I'm certainly not one of them, though. And I say that because, anyone who hangs out with me long enough, I don't mean like for one day, I mean, you know, knows me a while and hangs out with me and hears things I have to say or is with me when various things happen that don't happen to other people. I mean, not to a lot of other people. I don't know every person, so I don't know what's happening. But strange things happen to me. I attract strange things. Strange only that I'm saying strange in the uncommon. Listen, it's my return. But the storied life, it is. And the stories continue. I don't know what to tell you other than it gives me a lot of material to talk about and to use as comparison and to inject my philosophy into which I inject my philosophy and all sorts of stuff. It is, there's many stories, many, many stories to tell. One of the stories we told, we were telling, of course, if you were here last week, the 11th of April, whenever you're listening to this, so maybe it was like, let's say, but you were here 5 months ago, for those of you playing it, or it's a rerun or something, we got through our cotolonoscopy, which was attached only to this show and only a part of this because we made a story out of it, because it is kind of a story, and I could tell you many a story about it. But what I'm going to tell you is that the documentary, Ray Cotolo and Jack Cotolo, the Cotolo boys, the heirs to my kingdom, and the... Don't crack your knuckles, they used to tell me. Don't crack your knuckles. Why? What will that do to you? That give you arthritis or something? You know, another old man's tale, not just wife's tale, old husband's tale, that? It's like, don't cross your eyes, they'll stay like that. I don't know if any of that is true. But we're doing it, we're editing it. I'm not doing anything. I did everything I could possibly do. I gave my body to that particular, documentary, which I think we'll play now that I think about it. I haven't seen it, of course. There's like, wait, like, what is it? 40 gigs of, you know, he's going to cut it, make it easy to watch, fun. He's a good editor. He really does all that stuff terrifically. And it should be fine. When we get it up on YouTube at the Cotolo Chronicles, I believe it's Cotolo Chronicles YouTube thing that we had there. If we haven't done something up there in ages, we'll tell you about it. And we'll tell you about it here too. And where else it's going to go? Where's it going to go? I don't know. You know, there's only a million other people right now editing junk to put on YouTube and hoping that they will be someday, you know, getting an award or something. Because that certainly shouldn't be the goal of anybody creating anything, that you will be awarded for it. Rewarded, I think maybe, you know, which means you make money off it and therefore you can make a living doing it. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, that's the cotolonoscopy. I don't even know what it's called. We just called it that. We had a lot of fun. I wish there was more that Ray could have shot. He secretly shot some stuff where he shouldn't, in and around the place, but we couldn't get the doctor to, a great doctor too, and I'll never, ever, ever, be ashamed to say his name. I will tell you his name right now. Okay. You know, I didn't tell you the names of, you know, there's a long story to get me to that doctor, but I'm not going to tell you that story. I just publicly thank Dr. John McLaughlin, who has, worked on me twice in two different ways, two different ends, in fact. That's right. He's been, over the years, a terrific guy. And you know, the whole world of medicine has changed. The whole world of procedures have changed. It fits into the Hallelujah Trail story and stories that we've been telling you here since we began, when we all started to party in 1999. So, you know, it was a fun time. It was way worse than I thought. Anybody out there who's thinking about getting one and all upset, don't be upset. It's a walk in the cake. Okay. It's a walk in the cake. And you know that too. I talked about it last time. Anyway, okay. Here's the deal. I don't want to go into that any longer. Ray is going to work on the documentary and it will be available when I tell you it is available. So that's the news. Of that. Now, the colonoscopy news itself, since I put this out there, since I put this medical procedure in the theater, the chronicles of the world, I am telling you everything is fine. It's finer than fine. I dodged many bullets in my life. You know, nothing is particularly guaranteed getting a test. Like when you're supposed to, or, you know, getting a flu, you know, get a flu shot, and they say, well, no, I won't get flu, and then you get the flu. Nothing is a 100% pie of going to be great work. Nothing is absolute except math. That's it. So what I'm telling you is that, I'm fine, and I appreciate anyone who asked me or was concerned. Or I know that probably somewhere, see, this is how I think, somewhere, they were taking book on the most drastic thing happening. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because it is, the odds are so great. Well, great. I mean, large odds. The mathematical, I tell, like, you know, maybe 99.9%. That something's going to go wrong, because procedures like that, and there are ones like that, endoscopies, colonoscopies, and other oscopies. It's a good name for a dog. Hearoscopy. I'm trying to whistle. Hearoscopy. Oscopy's a great name for a dog. I don't know why people don't name their dogs Oscopy, and maybe some do. But it's so amazing that this particular procedure, let me just tell you a little bit about this. This particular procedure was, it got such bad press, and, you know, pop culture fits itself into anything. And the bad press, because when this, it was originally very difficult to prep for this particular thing, and a lot of people didn't do it because of that, but that's because the, you know, technology wasn't as terrific as it is now. I don't understand why I got all the bad things told to me. Not only that, but here's something else. Later on, and afterwards, in fact, someone told me, a friend of mine said, you know, I didn't tell you this, but you had your colonoscopy on Friday, and there was a study that says Fridays are the worst times to have such things done to you. So they did a study. I didn't get the... I mean, I believe that my friend, she read this, and I'm sure she was, you know, she read something and didn't make it up, which is why she didn't say, you know, don't do it on Friday, and didn't tell me, I mean, because I would get nervous when I was, it was just, it's, you know, if you don't have to do something, why do it? For God's sakes, I put it off. Check it out. You're supposed to start getting these things when you're 53. And I got away with not getting them. I mean, I had some other tests that said it was okay, but they say nothing's as good as the view. A view to a kill. Nothing's as good as the view in the actual colonoscopy. Although we could talk about the medical end of it, the money, and blah, blah, blah. But I got away with it. 16 years. 16 years without one. And then I get in there, get one, and I'm as clean as clean can be. I'm as clean as if you did it to me before I was 53 and there was nothing wrong with me. That's because there's a lot of things involved in the actual, let me put it to you this way. Anything else? A doctor before I went to my doctor, another doctor who I nixed, I nixed. I fired. I fired him. Okay. I was hiring him and I didn't hire him. That's it. This other doctor I didn't hire told me that men my age, that it's a 29% chance. There's a 29% chance that we will find something related to your age, cancer, polyps, you know, which are the things. I still don't know what, I still don't know anything about polyps, but I know that they burst them because they're precancerous. So if you get polyps, you got to get rid of them because they can turn cancerous. Okay. So I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Don't play one on TV. Don't even mention attempting to do one here on radio. So I said to myself, this guy told me 29%. Now, me being what I do in my life and the way I understand life with mathematics, I said, wait a second. So he's telling me there's a 5-to-2 chance that I'm going to, those are the odds that they will find something. Now, not necessarily, he's not saying they'll find something, you know, of fatal or anything. I mean, there would be, no matter what they tell you about signs, there are signs of fatality. Signs of fatality exist, and you could find them easier than ever these days with digital tests and DNA stuff. But I said to myself, that's not so bad. 5-to-2 that you will find it. And that sounds scary to some people. Geez, 5-to-2, that's like a, but you don't realize that if, let's just round it out to 30%. If there's a 30% chance they will find something, there's a 70% chance they won't. That's the side you gotta look at and go, well, the odds are on my side. And I'll tell you, this doctor that I had, this Dr. McLaughlin, when he first took care of me years ago, that's exactly what I did, because he said there's a procedure that I had, and I was still doing the show. Anyway, he said that there's a, one of the side effects was another condition that you don't want to get. And he said there's a 20% chance that you can get that. I said, well, that's ridiculous. That's 20%. No, he said a 14%. I remember 14%. This is why I remember 14%. He said there's a 14% chance that you will get an itis, one of these itises, okay? Because I'm not telling you exactly what it is. And, you know, this other disease, not disease, but this sickness or something happens to one of your organs. And I said, well, you know, that's not bad. 14%, 6-to-1. There's a 6-to-1 chance. 14%, that means there's what? Huh? Figure it out. Do the math, as they say. And you do say it. And I remember when he said, that's right. That is correct. So I did it. And not only that, but I tell you what else, I beat those odds. Not getting beat those odds, because that particular procedure I had two other times, and one of them was a complicated time of was actual surgery. So I have dodged many bullets, many, many bullets. But that's not luck. That's math. That's not religion. That's not prayers. That's math. And how you look at it Uh-oh. I've also been sneezing some, but I was sneezing before last week. I don't know what that... Spring, of course. It's spring, right? It's spring. And, you know, my mom had the problem, and I guess I do. I don't have hay fever. I don't know if anybody has hay fever anymore. My point is this. When someone tells you something about... when someone gives you some percentages, look at the math, translate into odds, and you'll understand better. Because everyone knows, even if you know nothing about math percentages or odds, you do know, everyone knows that if someone says to you, it's 50 to 1, you know that's a long shot. No matter what they're relating it, 50 to 1. Someone says, that's even money, you know, uh-oh. That's still a 50-50 chance. So if you look at the pure math, you always have a lot of things on your side, especially these days. And that goes back to the many things we talked about over the years in terms of down the Hallelujah Trail, how the digital world, digital math, and the machines they have because of it, the technology they have because of it, the knowledge they have because of it, has changed for the better. So you're doing okay. And get yourself, if you have a problem, get yourself to wherever it is that they look into you. Because, and if I get a chance, I'll look back and see if I could find that show. I don't know. I did find something very fascinating, and I'm going to check it out. I found some CDs. This is fascinating. Backup CDs that say Cotolo Chronicles on them. There's one here, but it says data. It's a data. I don't know what that means. CD, yeah, CDR. This says C Chronicles 2002 backups. Data, D-A-T-A. Now, I don't know. I haven't put this into my CD-ROM thing here, but I'm going to check that out one of these days. We may have saved, without knowing it, Cotolo Chronicles shows from 2002. That's way further back than we thought we had. This other one says 2006. I don't know if we've had those. I think we thought, I don't know, but I'm going to look into that and find some shows that people want to hear from way back when. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? We're here going down the Hallelujah Trail tonight. As we said in the blog, if you went there, I'm going to do a regular show. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Last week, while I was drinking all that, you know, what we call it? Cleansing liquid, with Ray and Jack here. And, I told you a lot about what's going to happen. Ray made fun of me later on, said, Dad, you know how much time in that show you spent saying what other shows are going to be like? And you have to, you know, I'm saying, like, you know, cut me some slack for last week. I was not in the greatest shape. And I told you before that when we were going to do the show that I was not going to be in the greatest shape because of what I was doing. Starving. But that's all gone. And that was yesterday. That was and it's gone. That's gone. So tonight we will replenish our precious bodily fluids, replenish them, not to cleanse, but to stay hydrated, because that's always important. It's another reason you have to drink a lot. You know, gotta stay hydrated if you don't eat. Why? Because there's water in food. So when you eat food, you're getting water. Did you? Yeah. Anyway, I'm not here to teach biology. As a storied life, you know, I think it's absurd. Absurd, as Dr. Futtenstein called me a difficult historian. I'm not telling you his name, but I think you heard the Futtenstein story if you listened to this a while back. Dr. Futtenstein called me a difficult historian. A difficult historian? I'm a storyteller, you know? I say, F-bomb him. There's a lot of doctors out there. You should not be afraid. If you don't like the doctor, walk out. Say no. Ask questions. Come on, huh? That's why I'm the bard of the internet. So I'm not going to tell you about what's going to happen and what else we're going to talk about and who else. You know, not that we have anything particularly planned. I'm like, I might do this, I might do that. And I wanted to tell the people who asked for particular shows in the past, I wanted to tell them what I have and what I found them and whatever. Mm-hmm. But there are things that I will talk. So this is an old-fashioned show where I have a couple of things to say and look into, talk about, and that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm doing right now. Okay? So I did tell you, though, I did catch up on, and I wanted to, the documentary news and colonoscopy news there. And I got... It's just, there have been tons of things on my mind, and I have kept lists, as I told you. I'm not going to do shows on entire things, or tell you what we're going to do, or I'm not going to sell my books today either. I want you to do that. I'm going to tell you something about something that is related to things we've talked about here, and how it affects the world. And I could bring it close to me in terms of things that happened to me, like the colonoscopy. You know, I can't say colonoscopy anymore. I always say colonoscopy. And I think that by definition, if you're going to get a, excuse me, if you're going to get a, oh, I get into some water. If you're going to get a colonoscopy, you can only be, you got to be a Catolo to get a colonoscopy, right? Because otherwise it makes no sense. I don't know. Are there? I know the grass. I've mowed my lawn already. I know the grass and the trees are. I don't think it's that spring though. I don't think it's because something gets into me like that. Probably has to do with just the dryness. So I've been doing a lot of things, putting my house in shape. Nah, I don't know. That's always a bad phrase because I remember. Many times, a person would pass away, an older person, no accident or anything, you know, just some illness or old age or what have you. And, members of that person's family would say, if they didn't know the person was dying, they'd say, well, he knew he was dying. Let's make it to he. He knew he was dying. I said, really? How did he know? Because he started to put his house in order. He put his house in order. And that meant that for some reason or another, the man who did not know he was dying suddenly decided to, look into his own books, you know, take care of his financial situations, a will, various things he had to do, just because that, you know, he had a sense of death. The sense of death is, it's part of, you know, literature and poetry and pop culture. The sense of death. It is so deceiving most of the time, the sense of death, because it's connected to neurosis, which is a feeling, just a simple definition, of course, is that reacting to something that's not happening. So you don't know you're dying, but if you get scared or frightened that you're dying and you don't know you're dying, you're going through a neurotic experience. So, but you will get anxiety. Okay. So it's, but, and that's what anxiety in itself is, loss of control. Okay. So they would say he's putting his house in order. He was putting his house. I should have known something was wrong. Why? Because he was putting his house in order. Suddenly he's going through his drawers, not his pants. I'm thinking, going through his drawers, looking for that passport and that old bank book and where he kept his insurance policy, or if he had an insurance policy or whatever. Excuse me, or whatever was going on, right? And so I don't like to say I'm putting my house in order because why? Because, you know, is that something? There's another piece of superstition, right? It's like, why? That doesn't mean I'm feeling, that I have the sense of death. I don't have the sense of death. And when you do have the sense of death, I would say, want to do odds? Let's do odds. I would say, you are wrong. You are wrong so many times. But people like to think that, you know, animals do have the sense of death. We know that. We've seen it. We don't understand it. I saw it happen, and I've talked about it when my cat was alive. The cat was in this house, was living in this studio. And the cat was sensing death. Now, I knew the cat was ill, and there was nothing to do about it, But the cat knew before I did, and I don't know, how would a cat know? A cat doesn't even know the concept of death in an animal. Doesn't translate. How could it translate? You know, you can't get into a, you know, animal's brain. Well, you can get, you know what I mean? You know what I mean. Five words that explain everything. So what I mean about the sense of death is that the cat, let's just talk about the cat, because I think all cats do this, and everybody I've talked to knew that the cat had the sense of death. The man putting his house in order has the sense of death, but many men who do that have the sense, have a false sense, have a false sense, an anxious sense, a neurotic sense of death. Now, the neurotic sense of death is always there, right? But this, the sense of death, the capital V, capital T, capital H, capital E, capital S, capital E, capital N, capital S, capital E, the sense of death, any human being would have, you know, it's not something we all get. If it is gotten at all by anyone, we have no truth to that. But when somebody died, they would say, yeah, he knew it. Now, I don't know why he would know it. Not everyone would know it. But a cat, let's just talk about cats, because I don't like cats. And I don't want to, I get stories about cats I don't want to tell you. Even though, and I'm not a difficult historian, Dr. Futtenstein. That's not even Futtenstein music, right? If I was to do Frankenstein music, not like Jaws. Jaws, you could go, and that's Jaws music. You can't do Frankenstein music, because there's no one, right? Unless Bride of Frankenstein had great music. But that, you know, you can't, I can't even, I'm not even humming it, but you can't do that. Okay, the cat, whose name was Jasper, suddenly went into the corner of the room and sat there. A cat who I didn't have many cats in my life, but I didn't know my cats. When we got this cat and kept him, and he was a very strange cat, because I know of other cats, and this cat. So now I sound like, I sound like one of my beatnik friends, because technically I'm a beatnik. You know that, right? You know that, right? I'm a beatnik. If I'm anything, I'm a beatnik. So this cat, he went into the corner and sat there like a sphinx, in that sphinx pose. You know the pose of the sphinx? The pose of the sphinx, the sense of death. He sat there. I'd go over and talk to him. I go, hey, Jasper, what's going on? And he's just lifeless. Now, I know that pain can do that, so maybe cats, maybe they feel the pain, but they know something is not usual, let's say. But they're not sitting there, and there's no anxiety. The anxiety with cats came from, like, this was a strange cat. I said, you know, 'cause he used to box, literally box. The cat would get on his back legs and move like a cartoon. I swear to you, I kid you not, as Jack Parr said, I kid you not. And we'd box. And fairly too. I mean, I was very large compared to the cat, but Jasper had claws, you know? Okay. He was active. He would jump and run, and I used to make him fly. I used to pick him up. Is Peter listening? Because I'm telling you, Peter, he loved this. I don't know if you'd get, things that they consider cruel, right? And I'd hold him, by under his, front legs, right? And this is not going to be like a painful thing. Because cats, as you know, can jump. A cat can jump off a roof. A cat on a hot tin roof, right? Jumps off a roof and makes it. And you know the old expression? He landed like a cat on his feet. Because cats can jump and, you know, like spiders. So I used to hold him under his front arms. And then I used to hum. I don't know if it's humming. Mm-hmm, that's humming. Da, 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 da. What is that? Da, 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 da. When you do da, da, ding, ding, do. When you do a melody with da, da. What is that? I used to make the notes with my mouth of the Rocky the Flying Squirrel show, the cartoon. And I'd hold them up. I'd see them holding up and go, dan, 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 and I'd make them fly. I would carefully lunge forward with my arms and let go. And he'd jump. He loved it. There's nothing cruel about that. But I'd do it while I went, dan, 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 dan. Because I'm a beatnik. That's why. I'm a beatnik. I am a beatnik at heart, which was something else I wanted to talk about. It just so happens that it came into that. So this sense of death it can drive you crazy. And people who have had nervous breakdowns, as I have had, once, many, you know, decades ago, okay? But, you know, if you go through such an intense emotional gauntlet, and that's it, too. It's a gauntlet. Pound it. When you go through the most severe effect of anxiety, you have a nervous breakdown. That is a loss of control. That's all. It is nothing more. It's so intense that you lose control. When you think you've lost control, and anxiety takes over, when the neurosis sets in, the actual sense of death arrives, because you have your equation in your head most of the time is, if I lose control, I die. If he hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, right? If I lose control, I die. I beat Nick, right? So cats don't have that. Dogs, I don't know about dogs. I've known dogs who just die, you know, and I had a dog. I had two dogs. And strange things happened to them before they died. The English Spaniel, she was very, very strange. She had the sense of death because she wandered. She never wandered. And then one night she wandered. And her sense of death, whether she thought she was, she never wandered. And then one night she wanders. Why? Why that night does she decide to leave her own house? Really? She had a house. She stayed in a doghouse. In the house where she gets her food, everything, the big backyard. She's got company because she had the Australian Shepherd as her friend. They grew up together. And she decides to leave and wander. That's the sense of death that causes that. You're saying, like, well, what happened? Well, what happened was she got hit by a car because it was night. And she was wandering as if to find whatever. Okay, so that's the, I don't know much about dogs. And the other dog, the Australian Shepherd, died of heart congestion. Heart congestion? Congestive heart failure. He had congestive heart failure. He didn't know what was going on, except that he was having trouble breathing. And that's where we said, uh-oh, something's wrong with this dog. He's a big dog, man. I've told you stories about this. I love this dog. I've told you stories about this dog, how he saved me from a wicked rooster. Huh? Does that sound like hey, Dr. Futtenstein, does that sound like a difficult historian? Hey, pick a finger, Dr. Futtenstein. What am I, carrying a grudge? You betcha, because I'm a beatnik. So Emmy, who is the English Spaniel, died the night she wandered. Jasper just sat there. I'm not going to tell you the whole story of when Jasper died, but I mean, the point I'm making for this, telling this much of the story, is that Jasper knew it. He was a lively, vivacious cat. He loved to fly to me mouthing rock, the music to Rocky the Flying Squirrel. He boxed. He played. And he was old. Okay? So it's not like, it was a cool cat, but he was dying and that was that, you know, and I realized he was dying and I knew that one, he was sitting there, wouldn't move. That was it. Wouldn't eat. I didn't know how I guess he didn't have any waste because he didn't eat. Right. So, but he had the sense of Depp. And so I don't like to say, you know, all this comes from the fact that I said to you, what I was trying to say was, I'm putting my house in order. I didn't mean it that way. I don't have the sense of death. And I knew if I felt anything before the procedure of the colonoscopy, it was just anxiety, had to do with childhood and everything else, which are more stories that, you know, I could tell some other time. But you're not my shrink, and I don't have to tell you, but that's not why I tell you these stories anyway. But I'm just telling you that I've been busy because I have a project, a continuing project that I can't talk about, and at my usual work and my fun work, which includes, I'll tell you this, here's another ad, which includes the Chronicles, the Cotolo Chronicles. Well, I don't know what we call it. What do we call it? Phil? Hello? What do we call Chronicles? Cotolo? Whatever it is. 148.ca/Frank. My weekly blogs, which are always different, always excitingly fun. And that I do that for fun, and it keeps me in the mix. Well, I'll tell you what else it does. I don't see anybody else doing that, and they haven't done it. So I'm the only one doing it, and I like being the only one doing it. And I know people, they get traffic, and they listen, they read it, and they go, it's fine, it's funny, get out of here. So I enjoy that. That's enjoyment. Plus, it helps content for SRN Media Works, who were so kind to me throughout the years and continue to be kind. So, okay, what am I saying? I'm saying that I've been doing things like, I'm mowing my lawn more often. I'm just making up for what I didn't do last year when I know you told me. I know I told you there's so much rain, and then you can't mow when it rains, and then it gets too high and becomes too much of a chore, and then you leave it and that. So I'm trying to get a regular sense of that. Plus, you know, this show was off for a couple of weeks recently because there was work done down here to keep the machinery of the house, the functional mechanics of the house going, all right? And because you notice you don't hear that thing anymore, do you? You know how every once in a while when you listen to the show, in the background, you hear, all of a sudden you hear, you know, you don't hear that anymore because that's all fixed. All this stuff that I've done to keep the house going, and spring cleaning is, now that it's getting warmer, means more work because the garage needs a lot of, fixing. Fixing? No, not fixing. It's not broken. It needs cleaning out. And, you know, I wonder, I spend more time trying to figure out what to do with things. You know, I don't know yet. What do you do with these half cans of paint and all these liquids that are just, you know, poisonous? Really, what do you do? You don't dig a hole. I can't dig a hole and put them, you know, in the ground. Jack, my son, got all pissed at me because, you know, I have a well. I have well water. I have a well. Do you believe this? I have a well. I never thought in my life I would live somewhere. And they said, Frank, how is Frank getting his water? You got a well. Frank has a well? It's not the well that, you know, Zippy the dog falls in, you know, because it's not out there, not a wishing well or what have you. It's a well. And a septic tank, all the stuff that goes on underneath the ground. You know, so one time, and I also have all these gopher holes, because as I told you, I have gophers. As I've told you many times, huge, monstrous. I mean, like, you know, I'm talking about, what do you mean, you know, you don't know. I'm talking about big, big, big rodents. And they don't like to live above ground. They make holes. I don't know what it's like down there. I don't know if they dig holes that are, you know, you hear rabbit holes, these gopher holes, and you've heard of gopher holes, right? I don't know if they build them like routes or streets and connecting. I don't know. Or they just build it long enough to just lay there. I don't know. But my son, I was doing this. I think this is probably against the law and this is a long time ago. And I only did it once, I think, or twice. Whatever. Doesn't matter. And I would take some of these liquids, these stuff I had left. Now, I'm not talking about poison, you know, and I'd say that. But when I was trying to kill the gophers, which is, you know, it's futile. That's a futile chore anyway. I have shot at them, and I've hit them. And then what do? I run away to decompose somewhere if they, you know, I don't have, that's the gun show. I'm going to do a gun show one of these weeks and you'll learn stuff that you might find amusing or disgusting. I don't have any idea. I don't know. But the gophers. So anyway, I took this liquid and like I said, I don't have cans and bottles of poison there, but you know, what is poison, may not be poison. I mean, it's not poison. You buy paint, right? I got paint. You're not going to drink paint because it's poison. You know, you get a cut, you don't put poison in it to, you know, so that's what I mean by poison. The stuff that's no good to have on your hands or in your body. It's to say in your body. So I took some of it and I said, I know how to kill these guys, because I can't stand guard outside and just wait and get a better gun and shoot them. What I'll do is I'll find their holes because their holes are, I would cover up their holes. One time I stepped into one, I almost got hurt badly because you could, you know, you slip into one and you fall and your leg goes this way and your bone goes and then you crack it. So I got to be careful when I mow because they make holes wherever they want to make holes. They're not judicious about this stuff. They don't go, over there, because they don't have a sense of depth. Maybe they always have a sense of depth, and that's why they're running their life, they're building holes and digging holes to get away from people, because there's people like me who are going to shoot them or put poison. That's what I did. I said, you know what I do? I got some food that was spiraled, and I laced it. Is that the word? Laced it? Soaked it? In, let's say, the stuff that people use to wax their cars, car wax, right? Car wax, something like that. And put it in the hole and then shoved some other stuff in there. But of course you can't cover up the hole when you do that because they won't go in the hole or they got to dig to get in the hole. You'd be surprised. I've covered these holes and I've stuffed them with twigs, not just twigs. I mean, large wood, pieces of brick, rocks, stuff, and they just dig right through it. Cause if you could dig a hole the size they dig a hole, you gotta have a mighty big heavy thing to not let them, the big enough and heavy enough that they cannot move. But, so I did that, and Jack, my son, who's the more, nature conscious, it's always been, even as a kid, the more nature, human, the more nature human, what am I saying? What am I, you know what I mean? He's a millennial and he's more into that, you know, health conscious, animal love. I'm not saying all of that, but you know what I mean, right? You know what I mean. There it is. The simple answer to every question. So he was like, Dad, don't do that. Now he wasn't just saying that because of the object, which was to murder the gophers. You know, not that if I got rid of every gopher on my grounds. Gopher on my grounds, they're running crazy. They're running rampant. Gophers on my grounds. I can't even say it. No, sing it. I shouldn't sing it. That was the object, but he's saying that. So that was one thing. You don't kill the gophers that way. Find a humane way to kill the gophers, you know. Yeah, that's what I have to do. I'll spend this week doing that with everything I have to do. I'm a human. I'm in the food chain. I'm on top. I'm on top of the world, Ma! So he said, but the point is, Dad, that you put this stuff into the ground and it absorbs and you have a well. And somehow he convinced me that I was, you mean to tell me? I said, what do you mean? He said, the water comes from the ground. You know, now that I'm saying this, I think I'm a complete idiot. Somehow, he said, don't put poison into the ground. Listen to me. I'm right back there in Brooklyn. Right back. Sometimes when I'm speaking. Please then make note of it. So he says, don't do that because you have water come. Somehow, I don't know, it's poisonous. Okay? I don't know what I'm going to do with those holes because cover them up and then they just make more. So it's like that. What is that thing where you hit the head comes up, boom, 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 and you hit the thing. You know that stupid carnival toy? It's not a carnival toy. I mean, you know, it's one of those, you pay 50 cents now. It's amazing. Now you, what is it, a dollar? Wambagans? What are they called? Wambangles? You know, anyway, you know, I get rid of three holes of, to the left of the grounds, and they're over there on the right of the grounds. For all I know, these things connect. Say, so, you know, I called a, exterminator. I said, yeah, you know, cause they have these, they send me these ads, and you know that I have, I get these value packs, you know, cause every once in a while I'll do a show, and I talk about the advertisements, which are crazy, you know, sometimes, you know, that's where we got pain spray, fabulous pain spray, and, you know, restaurants and places where they give you coupons and they're luring you to go and get a couple of dollars off. You know where their store is located and you shop there. But, now I forgot why I was talking about that thing. Huh. By the way, I want to say this. You are welcome for the wonderful radio. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. This particular. There were the gophers. Oh, I called, yeah, I called the, I found a man in there for the an exterminator. We'll take care of those pesky critters in your lawn. You know? Maybe they're going down into the foundation. Yeah, like the foundation, right? Yeah. Gophers are chewing away at the concrete foundation. I doubt it. But, listen. What's what you're doing here, Uncle Tolo Chronicles? You're listening. Listen to this. And that's this. So they put the ad, they pay for the ad's in there. I call them up. I can't get called. I left like three messages. No one gets back to me. This is how much you want business? That's not my idea of, you know. So I, and I didn't do anything since then. I did nothing. Okay. I saw some gophers the other day. They get brazen, you know, they don't see a lot of humans or creatures that, you know, bother them or they think will bother them. And the other day I'm in my bathroom, I looked down at my bathroom. I looked down at my bathroom. No, from my bathroom window, I could look into the backyard and there's two or three of them sitting around and having, I think they were playing cards. I was playing pinochle out there. They were just, you know, and they're talking, I guess, and they're doing their gopher talk and they're, you know, high-fiving, you know, and it's, whatever they do, gophers, when they're above ground, you know. And there they are. And, I opened the window, the bathroom window. They were like, you know, they're like, we're cool, man. We're out here. That beating it can't get us. We're out here, man. We're okay. Sunshining. I don't think gophers get sunburned. They have horrible, they have lots of hair. For all I know, it's layers of hair. I saw one up close because the dog I told you about before, not the female, but the male dog, Andy, loved to kill them when he caught them. Oh, I'll tell you that story one day again, if I haven't told it to you before, or I'll find it on another show. But, that being so, let me tell you what I'm getting at. So, it's very quiet. I just yell. They yell like those guys in the beginning of the show. You know. And dun, 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 dun. And they hear that, and they dart. The odd thing about these gophers is that for their size, they're huge, and I mean barrel bodies. Well, I'm not as big as a regular barrel, it's like a pickle barrel, but I mean the barrel bodies covered with fur, and they don't have long legs. I don't know how they move so quickly, but they do. And they, like I said, they were together out there on the lawn talking. I guess they weren't playing pinochle because I didn't see any cards left when they darted away. But the thing is that when I yelled out to shock them, knowing that that would make them run, it doesn't necessarily mean it would make them scatter, but that's what they do. They scatter. These three went in three entirely different directions, which meant that they were either randomly getting away from the sound which threatened them, just at random. They can go together, right? Or they all came from different holes that they had made in different parts of the grounds. Who knew? Because I'm upstairs. See, I have a strange house because the front of the house is technically on level. It's level with the street. The back of the house where the lawn and, you know, all that stuff is located is level with the basement. That's because the house is kind of like on a hill in the house. And you see what I'm saying? So there's a little hill and there's some, so it, but it just, it's weird to be in the basement, like where I am now, the studio is in the basement. And you look out and it's the ground, you know, flat. I'm level. If I go upstairs and I look out the front door and it's kind of level. It's weird, right? So you get used to that. Anyway, the gophers. So that's the gophers. Those are the gophers. That's plural. And you're here. And that's where we're going, to the top of the second hour. I'll be here for as long as I want to be here, telling you things. And then I'm going to go. But for now, this is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And this show is going exactly the way I said it would go. I made a comment on the blog introduction, and I love it. Love that picture of Humphrey Bogart. If you go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, or if you're on Facebook and you saw the picture that was connected to the promotion for this show tonight, you saw the face of Humphrey Bogart from a very strange movie, good movie, a noir, film noir movie. What? A Lonely Voice? Now I forgot. From A Lonely Voice, or I don't know. I forgot. You know, I love that. I love that picture. But in any event, in all events, and certainly this event, you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. And this is what happened. This is what happened. How many shows did we do like this? Hundreds, not hundreds. I don't even know how many we've totally done all this time. And I don't know why sometimes I talk like that. Sometimes. But like I said, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, why don't you go get some beverage, come back for the second part of the show, for as long as that lasts, and I'll talk about a whole bunch of other things that have to do with the world. I don't know. What do they have to do with life?
Cotolo Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Listening right here, Cotolo Chronicles, which you can hear on many other stations too. Look for it, search for it. In the meantime, in between time, we're going to go into the second part of this show, second half. Play a little Gravy Waltz on the way over, huh? Steve Allen, Ray Brown, famous, well, maybe not that famous bass player. Yes. Oh, I love this. And why not? Steve Allen. He was a beatnik, you know, like me. This is beatnik jazz, you know? Frying pan when she heard me come. I wish I knew remember the words. Only gonna before it comes. This is a bad key for me to sing it, but it's Miss Miranda's in the kitchen. This glorious day, smell the gravy cooking nearly half a mile away. Can't I live? It's Cotolo Chronicles. Raven Waltz for you as we get into the next part. You know, because, you know, guys my age, they don't do these kind of shows. They're all out there doing that political crap, trying to change the world and stuff. You know, I change the world more. This kind of stuff, you know, sharing this kind of stuff with you, you know, and beatnik stuff, man. While they're sitting around going, why those guys, old guys, young guys talking to an old audience. My audience is always young, yeah. Young at heart, young at mind. Half a mile away, too high or too low. Lady Morning Glory, I say good morning to you. My little baby was true. Is that it? One more time. Here at Cotolo Chronicles. Yeah. Miss Miranda's in the kitchen this glorious day. This is classic. Classic jazz. Steve Allen and Ray Brown wrote it from way back. Way back. In the beat. Yeah. Yeah. Cotolo Chronicles right here. So I've gotten into this. I've never left this beatnik thing. I don't know how many shows I've done on beatniks in the whole era. And then recently, I can't tell you about my project, but, you know, coming back to me, it comes back to me in a lot of ways. And then, oddly enough, I started watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. This show I knew nothing about I just heard about it. I knew nothing about it, and I did not have means to watch it because it's on one of these stations. That, you know, one of these streaming places. I keep forgetting. Prestige, that's it. Prestige Television. Prestige, you know, because it's all changing. As I told you, Netflix, as I told you. You know, I say things like that as if, you know, you're going to remember. I tell you to get a Cotolo Chronicles notebook, write down things and look it up. And if you listen regularly, whether you listen to it here or live, or you listen to it on True Talk or Racco Radio or any other places that have it. Or you go to Juiced Talk where you get the archives. Oh, and that's my chicken coming up on me. But so I'm watching this and I'll tell you why it caught my attention. I mean, I said, hey, I'm going to give it a chance. You know, I have access to the streaming, so let me give it a chance. I didn't know, I knew it had something to do with a stand-up comedian woman, but I didn't know anything. Other than I heard about it watching the Golden Globes 2 years ago, what have you. But speaking of beatniks, it turns out this show takes place in 1957, 58, 59, the turn of the decade, which is me growing up. That's me growing up. And I'm absolutely adoring the set decoration and the attention to detail. When you do a period piece, you really have to. I'm sorry about that. Should take a drink. I got to get some more of that old hickory. Whatever the hell it was, maybe absinthe. When I do an entire show by myself talking, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I have not looked into the creators, but I will, because they do those kind of things. But when it's taking place in that period, and I'm acquainted, because my childhood exists there. So watching the people, what they say, what they do, and that's a whole nother thing, but let's just talk about it in terms of how it looks and the vibe which has so much to do with, has to do it with a period piece. So to have the cars, the everything, the clothes, the cars, the equipment, nothing digital, right? Everything has hands, everything has moving parts. The clocks on the walls, the clocks next to we didn't even have clock radios, I think. But okay, and of course the whole beatnik scene, which took place in Greenwich Village. And a lot of this has to do with those beatnik places, cafes and jazz clubs, where any number of, folk singers, and there were stand-up comedians. Most of them were men, so that makes this a particularly sociological gem for now, okay? Because you look back, and so many millennials don't know, and, of course, Gen Xs. Yikes. Millennials, Gen Xs, and iGens. By the way, I mentioned last week to our mystery guest, we'll be coming back to talk more about iGens, and we'll have fun with that. But the marvelous Miss Maisel, well written, very funny, and a very, hip. Hip in those days, you know? These cats, man. Right? All this stuff, that the 60s managed to completely disfigure and dismember the wonderful world of the beat. Even though that turned commercial and died just like everything else. But, I'm loving watching this as if I'm traveling back in time. And what's great about it is, as I said, they don't make it look like 58, 59. They make it sound like that as much as they could. There are some kinks in the script in terms of using phrases that did not exist then. But I'll tell you what else caught my eye. Some guy, and I love this too, because in my book, in books that I have written and stories I've done that are long, I like to layer them. I'm a creature of old English literature and the form of drama, even if it's comedy. So I like to layer a story, a long story. And I like to use as much realism in terms of fact and people and things so that when you set your fictional characters in a world that is real, you get a richness that you don't get when you just make up everything like Faulkner did with his little town. I'm not comparing it. I'm just saying that's what I don't go there. I like to look at real. If you read, I'm not doing a commercial now though, but if you read Man of La Mancha, you go buy it at Amazon by Frank Cotolo, that guy. I did the third person. If you read that, you learn, a lot. And what I'm saying is what makes it real is that these, fake, and fake is fictional. These fictional characters walking around in this world that has to do with, Brazil and, there's things going on. Theater, stuff. All this stuff I'm telling you about, this historic, the realism of it, the places, let's go back to Mrs. Maisel. One of the characters in Mrs. Maisel, well, there is no Mrs. Maisel, there's no real Mrs. Maisel. She's based on, Joan Rivers, I believe, as I heard. I'll learn more about it as I read about it, but I'm just watching it now. It doesn't matter. I'm watching it as a real piece, not as, who's that? I don't even know these people. So I know some actors, Tony Shalhoub, who's just terrific. But okay. Come on, Frank. Don't go down that gopher hole. I'm going to call them gopher holes from now on, not rabbit holes. One of the real characters in this, the series, whatever it is, prestige, whatever you want to call them these days, is Lenny Bruce. Now, Lenny Bruce, arguably the father of modern stand-up comedy, all goes back to him. There's a horse, a thoroughbred horse, that had a name of Messenger. Messenger gave birth? Messenger had a son. Messenger was a thoroughbred. He had a son who walked weird and ran. He didn't run. He trotted, which is a different gait. Had a different gait. That horse was Hambletonian. And today, and that was like in the 1800s, every trotter, every horse that trots and doesn't run like a thoroughbred, doesn't gallop trots naturally comes from that horse. Now, you can believe that. That you could do the math. You can believe that. It's true. They're all come from him, just the way we all come from Genghis Khan. Is that? That's another deal altogether. Or, you know, if you're a religious person, if you're a Bible person, you say, okay, we all come from Adam and Eve. It's that concept. But that concept happens to be real when it came to the horse. And what I'm telling you about stand-up comedians is true. Were there no Lenny Bruce, there would have been no George Carlin, who's another, icon that alters the course. But even him, they all come from Lenny Bruce. And I, you know, as I'm watching this guy who's very good as Lenny Bruce, I think he did him better than Dustin Hoffman, who played him in a movie called Lenny, which was directed, I think, written and directed by Bob Fosse. I'm not going down that gopher hole. I'm saying that I don't know this actor's name. I will find it out, and you can find it out too. He plays Lenny Bruce, who is someone who helps Mrs. Maisel because he thinks she's a good comedian. And, you know, and he's, Lenny Bruce was a beatnik in a sense, okay, that he was anti-establishment, even though he didn't, okay, he beat me off. Then the heart of a beatnik, you don't have to dress like it, and you don't have to wear shades. Shades, right? Where's that come from? It comes from beatnik, shades, and, you know, berets, and coffee, and smoking. You don't have to have that, template look, that cartoon beatnik, that, you know, destroyed the beat generation. But anyway, we're not talking about that particular pop culture disintegration. I'm telling you that the guy who played Lenny Bruce, who was at heart, was a beatnik at heart during a time when, he was breaking ground, for comedians by, in the culture and saying things. And he was, you know, for equality, openness, the kind of stuff that wasn't going on even in the New York City, which was, let's face it, and this is supposed to be the most liberal city in the world. And let me tell you something, I grew up there, not in the city of Manhattan per se, but in one of the five boroughs and all over, been all over. And, you know, when I was growing up at that time, I understand what they're saying. I understand what was going on there, that was going on everywhere else. Discrimination. But youth was opening up in a way it had never opened up. But this guy who played Lenny Bruce, for the first time in my life, and I've seen Lenny Bruce, I never saw him live, and of course he died before I could see anybody live, but I never saw him perform. I did see him perform on film, never saw him live. I've seen Mort Saul, who, of course, is another person who, during that time, who is breaking ground. Well, he didn't go to jail, but even he was in the Lenny Bruce world of comedy and that kind of comedy. But the guy who's playing, here's when I'm getting to the point, okay? I'm not the guy imitating, because he's playing Lenny Bruce. And I'm going, you know, that guy who's playing Lenny Bruce, who's got that in the beatnik heart, more than when I ever saw Lenny Bruce do a film on stage or somebody imitate him, like in the movie Lenny with the Dustin Hoffman. But he was like, he was doing Cthulhu Chronicles. That's what he was doing. He was talking like this about things, about life, about himself, And funny based on life and, you know, having a storied life and doing what, you know, a really good stand up does, being, real and talking about themselves, even though of so much of it is colored. That's funny I said that word, because that's what they used to call Negroes in those days. Yeah, really, colored people are allowed here, right? Yeah, you could bring the colored people in. It's like, you know, that. I mean, that stuff went on, okay, back then, even in New York City. But, I mean, I was going, geez, of all the things I'm looking at, I never related to myself and what I do when I talk as Lenny Bruce-like. But I'm realizing that the embodiment of the beatnik being in him is what I'm doing. And that was an evolution, and it got into people like Mort Saul, who I remember, Woody Allen, who from Mort Saul, listened to Mort Saul. You hear lots of Woody Allen. And of course, Gene Shepard, who wound up on radio doing this very much like Americana, very much like Lenny Bruce. And I'm going, wow, I obviously always connected myself to Gene Shepard, who's more 60s, 70s, and late, you know, but he comes out of that school of thought, comedic thought. Now, you know, and you know Gene Shepard because of what I've said, and you know the Christmas story, but, you know, what I'm saying is that this particular, I had never identified with Lenny Bruce until I saw the man playing him in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I suggest you find a way to see this series or parts of it or anything for so many reasons. That era, which is only in the minds of people, war babies, and now this is us. And I'm thinking, here's what else I was thinking. I just, okay, if I have some kind of connection with him as young, that's young, because it's a young movement, beatniks. You beat Nick Hart, keeps going, but you grow older. And yet, huh? Men my age doing radio do not do what I do. They do not have beatnik hearts. That's changed. No one does this. They think there's no audience for it. They being radio stations, Hart, whatever they are, and, you know, the three companies that own all the radio stations now. So they're only playing to old people, and the old people have changed. And the beatniks are all dead. I don't know how many people out there with beatnik hearts still exist. But if they do, they're my age. And so they're attracted to younger minds, even now. Although, you know, because there's pieces of that kind of culture, pop culture, are in younger people. They're in the iGens and the X-Gens and, you know. But something happened to the war babies. And now the people they're listening to on radio are, what are they? They're not doing this. They're old. And a lot of them are younger. Younger men who are not, don't have beatnik hearts, talking to older audiences and younger women. Look at Laura Ingraham. And that's all, folks. There are others, okay? No one's doing this because they don't have a beatnik heart. And Mrs. Maisel brought back so much to me in terms of this that I was able to come back here and on this night without a theme, without a guest, without anything, and just do what I did from the very beginning. This. We were breaking ground on internet radio, and now, you know, even your podcasts from funny good people, and you know, there's nothing. It's not this. Because this is gone. And that's why I'm saying we have been buried. I've been talking about this and the disintegration of this kind of show. Certainly this show, because there's no other show like this, right? The decomposition of this show, you know, based on everything else that's out there, even guys my age who are doing internet radio, podcasts, what are they? Who are they talking to? They're talking to closed, fixed minds. They're not beatnik. And some of us have to keep the beatnik alive, right? But I'm just saying, and by the way, you're welcome for the wonderful radio. This is wonderful radio. And by watching Mrs. Maisel and how people in the 50s, the people whose minds were open, the beatniks, who weren't all just the kids sitting around with the poetry and the folk music and the, you know, the openness and language and sex and everything. a lot of them went. But I watched Mrs. Maisel and I said, there I am. And I always thought this too, because I remember my sister who was a beatnik took me to Greenwich Village and I saw these people when I was younger. Because, you know, in places, you didn't have to serve, they didn't serve liquor in the coffee, there were coffee shops. More people could come in, younger people could come in, right? And that's where I went. That's where I started taking, when I was taking girls on dates, I'd take them to Greenwich Village. It's like they never saw it. They were like, wow, we heard about this. Where are the beatnik? You know, whatever. And, there were these great places. Cafe Wa, and all these cafes were still there. You could go there. You didn't have to drink, so you could be younger. I'm talking about going down there for dates. And a lot of guys in my age weren't doing that. And then the ones who did stopped doing it or didn't understand their connection or didn't have a connection in the first place. They never beat Nick Hart. You know, beat Nick Hart has some kind of a beat. I'm watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I'm not talking about nostalgia here, okay? I am not talking about, oh, geez, like those, I wish it was like America was great then. You know, and I'm not even to bring up that particular phrase, right? I'm not saying that because it was terrible. In a sense, it was terrible. It was terrible because of the collards were there, you know, all that stuff. And the tribes, there were too many tribes. There was too much going on. You know what I mean? All the stuff that hurt a lot of people growing up then. And we all suffered from it. Not because our parents were crazy or anything. They were. I mean, but because of the fixed minds. So watching Mrs. Maisel opened me up again. I said, you know, when I do Cthulhu Chronicles again, next week, I say, I'm going to do one of these shows I always did. But me, sitting here, what comes to mind, talking about it, bringing up some things, not making it an agenda, you know, not trying, if the world changes or anybody in the world changes because they're listening to this and some ideas come out, fine, that's good. But ultimately, that stupid sound. I just like the design it makes on the, what is that called? The soundscape? What is that thing? I can make all sorts of, you can't see it, but can. Okay. So, but aside from that, the show has many, many, entertaining angles to it. And I think you, will enjoy it if you get a chance to stream it or somehow get it. I don't know. What are they going to do with these shows? Are they going to eventually, like, you can buy them, right? And then I don't binge, and I'm not a binger. There's a number of shows series that I've watched and like to watch, but I mean, watching them all at once is out of the question for me because having a beatnik heart and a beatnik mind, I move, baby. I gotta move. I got something going on. I don't really have a lot of places to go. I'm living a very secluded life now, but I didn't. But watching Lenny Bruce made me realize such wonderful inspiration and I had from, let's call them, what do we call them? Root. We are roots. I don't want to get into roots. It's not rooted in the big, I don't know what that would be called, you know, the evolution of stuff. You know, because it was never anyone particularly like Lenny Bruce when Lenny Bruce came along. And, went to jail to make people laugh because he said things and he was anti, and that whole beatnik thing, which developed into, other stuff. But, you know, it just made me appreciate me more and said, you know, I always said, 10 people are listening, and of course more people listen than that, but, you know, live, we do it and I'm talking to one person always, you. So I suggest you check that out. I'm going to find out more about it, the people who wrote it and got it together and got it out there. So I don't know much about that. And I like to look into that. But I'm enjoying. Right now I'm in the second season. I think there are only two seasons? I don't even know. I'm enjoying that. I'm also enjoying another series. I don't know if I'm advertising these, but doesn't matter. I'm telling you things I like, and I'm sharing them with you. You want to write them down in your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook? Which you should have. Have a Cthulhu Chronicles notebook. Write down things and look them up on your interweb. this marvelous machine that brings us here, this marvelous technology that made my colonoscopy a walk in the cake. And you know what? Things are not getting worse. How you decide to function with the digital world in your life is important. And sometimes I think that, you know, the few there are out there, obviously people in my audience and me, you know, the few there are out there who are using it as they need it, not just because it's part of them. As you know, you should go back to archives and you should go to the and listen to the mystery guest we had talking about that generation, the generation that is now in their 20s and, you know, now moving into adulthood, the 2000 kids, right? No, the 2000 kids are millennials. I don't know. Well, you know what I mean? You know what I mean. There you go. Even I said, you see, I move my, I take myself away from the things that I, but it all comes from back there. The 50s. Ugh. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show. These are some of the things we were talking about, we're talking about tonight, and I'm, for as long as I want to. And there are so many other things that I think, you know, I am a product of, so if you want to go see, if you can get a hold of the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, check it out. And women, then, watch it with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Watch it. You know, it's better than picking up a 1950s book because it'll be easier for you. Watch it. Be entertained and learn at the same time because there's plenty of things there you don't know about and you should know about because that's not that long ago. And people want, there's a lot of people in this world want to have things like it was then and it wasn't all that great. See, I'm not saying it because this is nostalgia. It's not nostalgia. I'm talking about the breed, the tribe from which I was going to say am, and I can't end it with am. I think I painted myself into a corner like Jasper, but I don't have the sense of death. We're on the Hallelujah Trail is what we're doing. So that's it. You know, I've come to this particular point. Why start another topic now? I think we've done wonders with that. I'll tell you one more thing, though, here as we're moving along. I have this book, this Critics' Choice Video. Of course, now that there is prestige television and there's stream on your phone, stream wherever you go, watch it. You know, you don't go to, people don't go to movies anymore unless when they do go to movies. You know, it's the entertainment. Theaters are everywhere now, just like we said they'd be when we started. So I have the big book of movies and TV too is a, I don't even know who puts this out, but they're selling, you know, DVDs because, even DVDs are going bye bye. You know, it's moving along the Hallelujah Trail and it's like, hold it. What I mean is CDs for music. They're selling CDs, they're selling DVDs because now, there aren't, the platform has changed. 4D or 3D, no, not 4D, I don't know. Yeah, it's changed. But now, you know, a lot of people don't use those old DVDs. It's Blu-ray and the other one. 4D, whatever they're called. I don't know what it's called. But this place is still selling. I don't even know how old this is. What company is this anyway? It doesn't say. Wait. Critics' Choice Video. Where this book, I don't even know where it came from. I see. I can't tell you the name of the address. Somebody gave this to me and it was given to them. So it was sent to them. This is a place in Illinois called Critics' Choice Video. So there you go. And it's just page after page after page of these, DVDs, that nobody wants anymore because you can get them on, you know, in HD and all sorts of different ways because they've taken so many of the old things, only so many of the old things, and have digitalized them, not just so that they can play on modern players, and but because the film is disintegrating, tape, Tape is disintegrating. I have reels of tape. There's no way. Put them on, if you could find a reel-to-reel, they're going to snap. They're decaying. That's why if you go to Juice Talk and you check out the Dead Air shows that were done on tape, Tom Savino and I had to be digitalized, and some of it is corrupted. You'll hear, and that, some of it was lost because it was on tape, and it was a great process to digitalize them. So there are tape recorders, if you heard, and players around. Okay, back to this book, which is selling all this stuff. I noticed the other day, and that's what I want to do. When I get Heather Drain back on the show, I want to talk about some of these weird movies that they're selling, because she knows all this stuff. And we could talk about some of these collector item things. It goes from horror. It's not necessarily horror. There's cult. It's called cult. Right? Yeah. Cult. And there are movies here and series and things. I have never heard of these things. And I know that Heather Drain can tell us about them, and that there's ways to find out how to get these things. And by the way, the name of this place is ccvideo.com. Obviously, www. Can always tell somebody now who got onto the internet later than most people, because they tell you, here's the address, www, you know, browsers, you don't even need www's anymore. Just put in the name of the site, and it www's, if I make it into a verb, it w's your URL on its own. You don't have to write W, you don't have to type 2-3 W's anymore. But I want to know about some of these things. It'd be wonderful to talk about this stuff. I never heard of these things. I've heard of some of them. But this especially, and I'm going to get in touch with her and tell her, let's talk about this Grindhouse series. Grindhouse? I never heard of it. The cult in the cult area. Who's Jess Franco? She'd know, right? Yes. Beach Babes from Beyond. It is crazy. Science fiction and cult stuff is just crazy. Fairy tales are connected to this. Sort of weird. I got to do it. I'm going to get a hold of Heather Drain. Sorry, Ray. I just told something else that might happen in the future. But here's what we're going to do. We're not going to get into looking through this book right now. We're going to do that another time. What the Bard of Broadcasting is going to do is say, I've given you all I got for tonight. So here's what, and for today, or what have you. And I know you other stations that are playing this can't complain. Hey, it wasn't 2 hours. Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, but it's free, and you guys know it. Nobody ever complains anyway. So I'm very happy for all that. And for all you people who play it, the people who are downloaded at juicedtalk.com. See, now I'm going to do this stuff as we go wind into the end of the show. Amazon for the books, my books. Go get them, Man of La Mancha, Sweet Shepherd, the biggest seller of them all. Don't expect comedy there. And there's some other things. Some poetry and stuff. But yeah, it's because not beatnik poetry, though. Oh, I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to tell you that you can get those. And thank you very much for those of you who've gone there to buy it digitally also how could I forget? Blurb.com. I almost forgot. Blurb.com, where the two volumes of Molotov memoirs are available in digital form. And then Lulu.com, where those chapbooks, three chapbooks. Moon Over Gorgon. I'm sorry. I knocked into the... I know you're hearing. That sound in the background, that's the boiler. That's okay. That's not the other one. That thing's gone. Okay. Lulu for Moon Over Gorgon, Return of Turk Bahrain, which, as you heard last week, if you were listening... There's a web series developing and perhaps will be out there. So go read about it. Read the original Return of Turk Bahrain book right there. It's a chap book. What's the third one? Skull and Roses, with a bunch of crazy, essays I've done. And a lot of the stuff that's very much like it is on 148.ca/Frank, which is free. The books cost money, but there's not much. You can get them, and that's it. What else do I have to say? I hope to be here in more Aprils. Thank you very much. And you are welcome for the wonderful radio. I don't want that. That's the middle of the show. What do you want? Want this? That's what I want. I want it louder, too. Here, bring it up. Bring it up. Yeah. There's also License to Skill. License to Skill. You're going to want to read that. That's funny. So I'm told. Anyway, my name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, The Beatnik, Brain and Heart. Thank you for being here. We'll be back. And, you know, we'll talk. There's always something to talk about. Go see whatever, read, listen to this again and take notes and think of things and have a lot of good times. Happy spring. I'll be back. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you may be located. So we're a couple of minutes early. So what? I've given you all I have. I always do. And I guess that's where it goes, where it went, and I'll leave. I have nothing more to say.